I love our St. Matthew's window, and every time I look at it, I notice something new. And this time around, I noticed that Jesus' hand is, one hand is up in blessing, the other is extended to the young Levi who became St. Matthew's as he's doing his work as a tax collector. And there is this look of excitement and anticipation and curiosity on Levi's face. And then on the right, we have the wizened St. Matthew, who is looking directly at us. Little sternly, but I think about him at that age and all he has experienced when he responded to Jesus' call. And I think about what was he like at that stage. He's older, he's wiser, and perhaps he's a little more comfortable with mystery. I think about our gospel story in which Jesus invited Matthew, who was then young Levi, to follow me, and Matthew's response. And I think about the fact that Jesus saw all the potential that was in Levi, all that he could be, rather than just seeing him as a tax collector. And as some of you may know, tax collectors in the Roman Empire were despised. They were seen as collaborators with Rome. And not only did they collect taxes from the people who had so little to give in the first place, they added their salaries onto what they had extracted. So I'm amazed not only by Matthew's response, but also his willingness to be surprised by God, to risk faith, to follow Jesus, when it was unclear what doing so might mean and where that might lead. In 2005, we buried our sister Beatrice Garibonda the day before St. Matthew's Day. This is her portrait here on my right. She is one of the saints of this church. Like Matthew, Beatrice was a person who said yes to Jesus' invitation to follow him. She was always open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. She made a profound mark on our faith community and on so many people's lives outside this church. Her life and her prayers moved us. I'm still hearing stories about those prayers. She was the catalyst behind our becoming a neighborhood church with a worldwide community. She got us engaged in local and global ministries. She connected us with the Ugandan and greater African communities in the cities. And her vision lives on here and in the lives of the girls of the Blue House, who now have a hopeful future, thanks to her and all who have come around her vision and made it a reality. Spirit-led leadership matters. Over the last 14 years, we have been learning a lot together about what it means to follow Jesus. We've learned about new ways to pray, and the importance of asking the question constantly, what might God be up to in our lives and in the lives of our neighbors? We've shared stories over meals and found those meals to be Eucharistic. We've deepened our relationships by learning more about deep listening. We've practiced that listening not only with our families and coworkers, but also at Project Home and Loaves and Fishes. I've noticed the difference. We've witnessed and been caught up in generosity that inspires us, and we've participated in God's life together in worship. We've taken some big leaps of faith. As the spiritual goes, Jesus on the telephone, tell him what you want. Good timing. We've taken some big leaps of faith when we've had what former youth and intergenerational minister Yanni Swart called clear pockets of energy. And then we've seen the fruit that comes from doing so. In the last few years, we've named the fact that we're most impactful as a faith community Monday through Saturday. While our corporate ministries aren't unimportant, we've seen the power and reach of serving as Christ ambassadors in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and the places we volunteer. As you think about the coming week, I want you to visualize a map of the Twin Cities. Now visualize the over 300 people of St. Matthew's spread out all over that map, bringing light, life, and love to the people around them. That's a lot of life, light, and love. Enough to make a difference. We've also seen how helpful simple spiritual practices can be as we live as followers of the way of Jesus in the midst of conflict, estrangement, ethical challenges, and unrelenting schedules. A couple of months ago, our senior warden, Dan Johnson, asked our vestry, "What next?" We were just finishing up final touches on the parish hall, thanks largely to the ministry of John Desharnais. Both spaces look great, and after a few mishaps with the new lift, we've finally learned how to use it. How many people miss the sound of the old lift? It was like Susan Hardman, that surprises me. It sounded like an old lawnmower. It was horrible. Dan had the vestry do an imaginative exercise in which we shared our hopes and dreams for St. Matthew's as we looked toward the future. We wondered, what is God's dream for our faith community in the coming years? What might God already be up to in our midst? In light of our community's greatest needs, what's the best use of our corporate gifts and passions? In this wondering time, we began to think about St. Matthew's history. What have we done well over time? St. Matthew's is known throughout the Episcopal Church in Minnesota for being a dynamic faith community, full of people making a difference in a variety of leadership roles all over the cities. We're also known for raising up innovative and entrepreneurial leaders for the wider church. What if we owned these ministries more fully? What if we named and invested in them more deeply? Visionary, compassionate, and innovative leaders are desperately needed in our country and church right now. These are tough times with divisions across lines of difference like we've never seen before. St. Matthew's has the opportunity to continue to encourage and equip dynamic, spirit-filled leaders who can bring vision, healing, and reconciliation to a divided and broken country. Our vestry would like to commit more deeply to young people seeking ordination and to people who will serve as God's ambassadors in offices, classrooms, boardrooms, hospitals, courtrooms, and on the streets as they work with a variety of populations in Jesus' name. Thanks to St. Matthew's openness to innovation, the movement of the Holy Spirit, and Dwight's two books, People of the Way and Agile Church, which have so many stories from our faith community in them, we also have a national reputation as a place of hope for many mainline churches. Our vestry would like to build on this by continuing to share our learnings with other faith communities and judicatories. We want to continue to be a place that facilitates important conversations about the ways that the church must change if it wants to be around in 20 or even 10 years. We want to continue to model faithful innovation, how to translate spiritual treasures and practices for future generations. Our society is broken, divided, suspicious, depressed, addicted, and isolated like never before. Our planet continues to grow warmer, and as it does, our most vulnerable populations continue to be impacted disproportionately. Refugees, residents of poor countries, the homeless, and animal species too numerous to mention. Let us commit ourselves ever more deeply to raising up leaders who can address these problems, because they know, as the first chapter of John's Gospel tells us, that God so loves every person and creature in this world. On my first day at St. Matthew's, on my first St. Matthew's Day in 2005, we celebrated the restoration of the church's steeple. Anybody remember that? The steeple stood proudly for 90 years until it suffered severe storm damage. In response, a group of concerned parishioners, including John Tillotson, mobilized to bring about its restoration. Initially, those spearheading the project thought the entire steeple needed to be replaced. Upon close inspection, they learned that the original timber inside the steeple was solid. What the steeple needed was a new and solid foundation. It needed a foundation that would hold firm for years to come through all kinds of weather. For 14 years, we've been focused on Jesus and his way. As our way of life states, St. Matthew's Episcopal Church is a community of people invited by Christ to meet him at his table, in each other, and in our neighbors. As apprentices, we practice following the way of Jesus as expressed in the Anglican tradition, in the power of the Spirit, so we can participate in God's healing of ourselves and the world. We understand Jesus' way to embody these themes: story, prayer, simplicity, discernment, reconciliation, hospitality, generosity, and gratitude. What might God be up to where you live and work? What in those environments is life-giving, and what's life-taking? How might you continue to serve as Jesus' ambassador there? In the silence that follows, I want you to think about one person you might reach out to in your family, neighborhood, or workplace. How might you listen to them more deeply? How might you walk with them in friendship and compassion? How might you share the hope that is in you in just the right way? Amen.